that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving.
You sing out with us again, amazing love.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving.
Sing, God, you're so good.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour. The dead are raised, the sinner saved, the work of your power. God, you're so good. God, you're so good.
You're so good, Lord.
God, you're so good. You're so good. Suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Both now and forever.
And should this life bring suffering?
And should this life bring suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever.
Sing, God, you're so good.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good.
How many of you know that you're blessed today?
You're so good.
How many of you know that you're saved in Jesus' name? Come on, sing it.
I am healed, I am whole, I am saved. I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name.
Won't you just declare that right now? I am blessed. I am called. I'm healed. I'm saved. I'm favored. Anybody believe that this morning? Won't you lift up your voice and give him praise in the house? Hallelujah. I am saved in Jesus' name. I'm highly favored. I'm called by the Lord. I'm anointed by the Lord. Hallelujah. I will give him the praise that he deserves. I will give him the glory that he deserves. Hallelujah. God, you're good. You're great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good.
Yes, you are, Lord.
God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Thank you, Jesus. God, you're good to us. Would you stand with me and turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 33? Jeremiah chapter 33. Verse, but I want to read 1-3. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. I want you to say this verse with me as he puts it on the screen. Call to me. Say it out loud with me. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. One more time, say with me, call to me, and I will answer you. Hallelujah. And show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a praise in the house. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I want to share with you to begin with a message from Franklin Graham. Some of you may have seen this on Facebook. You may have seen it in some other places. If you look on the front of your bulletin today, there is a nationwide call to prayer today, June 2nd, 2019, for the President of the United States of America. Now, let me tell you something right now. Whether you like him or not, whether you liked any of the previous presidents or not, you and I are called by God to pray for those who are in authority. It is a mandate from God to you and I to lift them up in prayer. This is not about politics. It's not about your political persuasion. It's not about what you believe or don't believe. It's about lifting up our leaders in prayer. Amen? And here's the message that I want to share with you from Franklin Graham as we begin this time today, along with 250-plus Christian leaders, and that number has already grown since he wrote this. I am asking followers of Christ across our nation to set aside next Sunday, June 2nd, as a special day of prayer for the President, Donald J. Trump. President Trump's enemies continue to try everything to destroy him, his family, and the presidency. In the history of our country, no president has been attacked as he has. I believe the only hope for him and this nation is God. This is a critical time for America. We're on the edge of a precipice. Time is short. We need to pray for God to intervene. We need to ask God to protect, strengthen, encourage, and guide the president. We know that God hears and answers prayer. He can soften hearts and change minds. He is all-powerful and he rules over the affairs of the nations. The Bible instructs us to pray for those who are in authority. For what purpose? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. I think that is a worthy purpose, don't you? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. On June 2nd, we asked that pastors would lead their congregations in praying for the president. That small groups, Sunday schools, other groups would join together and pray that individuals and families across the country would have a special focus on praying for the president on that day. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. How many of you know that our war is not against one another? It's not against people. It's against the spiritual host of wickedness that are trying to rule in the heavenly places. And it's up to you and I to fight not with the weapons of the world's warfare, not to fight with the weapons of Satan's warfare, but to fight with the weapons of God's warfare. He said, for the weapons of my warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. And casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. And so he said to us, he said, I want you to call unto me. Notice the demand for prayer. That's a demand. It's not a request. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. We are commanded and demanded to pray. You see, prayerlessness is not a weakness, it is a wickedness. It is not just a shame, it is a sin. Prayerlessness is a sin, and we've got to get back. The Spirit of God is just giving us a clarion call today. He's given a clarion call to the church at large. It's time for the church to get back to praying and putting God first in their lives, being people of prayer. And also fasting. There is a tremendous statement concerning prayer. God and prayer in Psalm 65 and 2 that I want to share with you right now. It is found. Psalm 65 and 2, it says, O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Let this sink way down in your spirit here this morning. God hears prayer. I said he hears prayer. Did you know that God's desire for us to pray is so great that he will even do things to drive us to pray? Notice in verse 1 that this command to pray came to Jeremiah while he was still shut up in prison. Jeremiah was in prison for preaching the word of the Lord. The Babylonians were marching toward Jerusalem, and the people of Jerusalem, knowing they didn't have much of a chance against their mighty power, were thinking about aligning themselves and joining up with Egypt. But God told Jeremiah to tell them instead to surrender, that they could not defeat the Babylonians, and that they were going to be delivered into their hands. The Babylonians threw Jeremiah into prison. So here in this dark, dungy, dusty dungeon, God said to Jeremiah, I have you right where I want you. Now pray. I told you last week there's purpose in the wilderness. We're talking about that in our Sunday school class. And as long as God has led you there, as long as the Spirit of God is leading you there into the wilderness, can I just tell you today, you can rest assured that God will be with you in the midst of the wilderness, and that same God will be the one that brings you out of the wilderness. He will be the one that gets the glory and gets the honor as He forms character in you, as He teaches you more about Himself, as He forms His purpose and plan and desires within you. The glory of God will be revealed, and He will be honored in the process. Call unto me. It's a demand, first of all. And secondly, and I'm not going to preach on this morning because I want to leave time for prayer. I want to do what Franklin Graham has asked us to do as a church and pastors to do, is to lead their congregations to pray. To pray for our president. But notice, secondly, the direction of prayer. He said, call unto me. Call unto me. Now, there's a certain group of people, many who love the Lord, no doubt, who are praying to the wrong source today. And if you have a Catholicism background today, I do not intend to offend you in any way. I mean no disrespect. I believe that a lot of our Catholic friends are sincere and they're devout in the religious faith, but I am convinced that is theologically incorrect and biblically impossible to pray to the Mother of Jesus. But my thought is, even if you could pray to the Virgin Mary, why stop at the bottom floor when you can go all the way to the top? And God says, call unto me. Hallelujah. Who has torn down the wall of separation, who has torn down the veil, and has given us free access into the very presence of God. He said, call unto me. We're calling on everything else, and we're looking to everything else, and we're trusting in everything else, but we need to trust in the Lord and call on Him with all of our hearts, and He will direct our path. Call unto me. It amazes me how when we have a problem, we will talk to everybody else first and talk to God last. We'll look at all of the resources available to us, and if that doesn't work out, then we'll call on God. Why don't we call on God first? When trials come your way, why don't you call on God first? When you get up every day, why don't you call on God first? Because you need Him now more than you've ever needed Him before. I need Him now more than I've ever needed Him before. Putting Him first, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He said, all these things will be added to you if you'll just seek me first. Everybody say first. First. We ought to be talking to God first and others last. As a matter of fact, if you'll talk to God more, you will talk to others less. Because you won't get involved in gossip, you won't get involved in woe is me, you won't get involved in the pity parties, and you won't get involved in all of that. You'll just be, you know, you're putting this thing in the hands of God, and when you do talk to others, it's going to be like, look what the Lord has done. Let me just tell you what God has done for me, and how He's blessed, how He's intervened, and how He's showed Himself mighty and strong. Hallelujah. Notice there's no restriction to this praying. God did not say, call unto me if it is important or if it is serious. We are not only to talk to God anytime and any place, we are to talk to God about anything. Paul said in Philippians 4 and 6, be anxious for nothing. For nothing. But in everything with prayer. Say everything with me. Everything. In everything with prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. That means you thank Him and praise Him before the answer comes. You praise Him before you've seen the manifestation. You thank Him before He's shown Himself in your life. With thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. The only thing that God wants you to pray about is everything. The only thing you don't need to pray about is nothing. We need to pray about everything. And everything. And lastly, I'm moving along quickly. Notice the decisiveness of prayer. God said, I will answer you. Say that with me. I will answer you. I will answer you. God not only hears prayer, he heeds prayer. He will respond, he says, to every prayer. Am I reading that right? He said, call on me and I will answer you. Is that what he said? He does not say, I might answer, or I may answer, or I could answer. He says, I will answer. I like what the great Methodist preacher John Wesley said, who we have our roots in as a Pentecostal holiness movement. He said, God does nothing except in answer to prayer. You see, the question is not, does God answer prayer? For God always answers prayer. The question is, how does God answer prayer? No, God does not always answer prayers immediately, does he? But that does not mean that he's not answering prayer. There are a variety of responses when we pray. Sometimes it is immediate, like Samson, who said, one more time, Lord, because they had plucked out his eyes and he had put him up against those pillars. He said, one more time. And God intervened through that prayer, and he was able to get revenge on his enemies. What about Elijah after they had done all they could do on Mount Carmel to call on their gods, and they cut themselves all day long and they were calling on their God and nothing was happening? And Elijah prayed 63 words and fire came down from heaven right after he prayed and licked up the trench and licked up the water in the trench. Glory to God, and God was magnified and God was glorified in that situation. There are times that God answers immediately. We need God at times to move right now. How many of you know that he's a very present help in the time of trouble? Hallelujah. But how many of you know that sometimes God's answers are delayed? Sometimes God says yes, but not now. That's what we don't like to hear about in this microwave generation, this cell phone generation, this I can have information right to me just in a click of a button. We don't like that. You mean I've got to wait? You mean God has a purpose? God has a plan? God has a process? You mean God's trying to teach me something? God's trying to grow me through this? You mean I can't have what I want right now? God not only wants to give us what is best for us, but he gives it to us when it is best for us. One of the greatest mistakes a parent can make is to give that child too much too soon, because they have not yet learned the responsibility of how to handle that. Maybe you give them too much money and they blow it real quickly, right? Because they haven't matured enough to know how to responsibly handle that. Remember this about God. God always answers prayer on schedule, but it is always on his schedule and not ours. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Remember Isaiah 55? Our problem is we are concerned with time, but God is concerned with timing. It's got to be his timing. Remember this, God's delays are not God's denials. Just because there's a delay to the prayer doesn't mean he's denying your prayer. God's answers are always different. God sometimes says yes, but something better is coming. God does not always give us what we want, but he always gives us what is best. How many of you believe that out there today? He gives us what is best. I like what Ruth Graham said. She said on several occasions, if God had always answered my prayer, I would have married the wrong man 3 times. I will show you great and mighty things, the Bible says, which you do not know. God not only hears our prayers and heeds our prayer, but he honors our prayer. There's a great lesson to learn in that little word, show. The primary purpose of prayer is not to release God's treasure. It is to reveal God's truth. You see, we're always looking at prayer as what I can get out of it. We look at prayer a lot of times as what God can give us. We're seeking his hand instead of seeking his face. I believe God is trying to get the church back to seeking his face again, just for who he is, because he is God, and we enjoy being in his presence and being obedient to him and having the power of God working in our lives. Get back to seeking his face. He said, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. That word show literally means to make manifest. It means to expose, to reveal, to unveil. You see, prayer was never meant to be a one-way conversation. Prayer was never meant to be a monologue. Prayer is meant to be a dialogue. And so many times we spout out all of our requests and we don't even wait for God to speak. We don't even wait for what God might have to say to us. How many of you know that we just need to get to that place where we just get quiet and get still? Because that is still a form of prayer, to wait upon the Lord and listen to what the Spirit has to say unto us. Yes, give him your prayer request. Yes, pour out your heart before him. But have those times of stillness in the presence of God and let him speak to you. Meditate upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Some of those times that I have been encouraged the most have been when I just got quiet and I waited upon the Lord, and that still small voice began to speak to me, saying, it's going to be okay. Just keep trusting in me. Keep looking to me. Keep your eyes upon me. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Keep listening, and I will direct your path. Hallelujah. He said, these things I want to show you, they're great and mighty things. Great and mighty things. That word mighty is interesting. It refers to a fortress or to walls around the city. It literally means things fenced in. It could best be translated as inaccessible. God says he's going to show us things that are inaccessible to everyone but him. Hallelujah. And because you know him, and because you have a relationship with him, he's going to reveal those secret things unto you. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29 and 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Anybody love the Lord here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest difference between the early church and the modern church is that the early church utilized the privilege and the power of prayer, and the modern church, in my estimation, has deserted the privilege and power of prayer. I'm going to tell you something, church. We've got to get back to our roots. And it all starts with praying as a church. Praying and fasting as a church. How many of you are willing to do that with me, to step up your prayers? Step up your prayer game. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's a war going on in the spirit realm, and you and I have got to get in this fight in the name of Jesus. We've got to fight. We've got to fight in the spirit. He said, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. He said, wage good warfare as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what he told Timothy. You're in a fight. You're in a war, and you've got to get in the spirit and fight this thing in the power of the Lord to overcome. As Laura comes to the piano, there's a story about a little boy that was out in the yard trying to move a heavy object, a stone. And he was grunting and he was groaning and struggling and striving and straining. He wasn't getting anywhere. And his dad was watching him with somewhat of amusement. And finally, after the boy was near total exhaustion, he said, son, can you not move that obstacle? He said, no, Dad, I cannot. He said, well, have you used all of your strength? He said, yes, I have. The dad said, no, you haven't, for you haven't asked me yet. God is inviting us to ask because he wants to give. May I remind you of that simple scripture in Matthew chapter 7 that says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. May I just remind you of that scripture one more time in Jeremiah 33. He said, call upon me and I will answer you. Hallelujah. Sometimes it might be no, but how many of you know that when God answers no, it's for a reason? He has something better in store when he answers no. And so you've got to trust that his purpose and his plan is better than what you want. Because God doesn't always give us what we want, but he will give us what we need. Somebody help me praise the Lord in this house. He's a good God. He knows what he's doing. He's sovereign. Hallelujah. He's sovereign. And he said, ask, call upon me, and I will answer you. And we're being summoned today in a corporate expression of our faith to pray for our president. Let me read to you one more time. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you turn there with me, I want to read this and then we're going to pray. 1, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Four things we've been asked to pray for today. For God to protect, for God to strengthen, for God to encourage, and to God to guide the President of the United States. Do you believe God will hear our prayers today? I absolutely believe it with all of my heart. And I'm going to ask you right now if you'll please stand. And as many of you that will, please make your way to this, the front of this congregation, this altar area, and find